turning into the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, I believe it is. Yeah. And then we're going to go to chapter 4 also. But we're going to bring out some things today to what the Holy Ghost is can reveal to us through His Word. I thank God for His Word, that He does reveal some things here in His Word that we can look after and everything, and look at, and we can bring it even back from the day of Jeremiah. That was before Christ. It's 446 before Christ. It's just as good today as it was back then. But for us today, we can see in the things that they looked at. But if you will, in the chapter 1, and that's the book before you, it's the book right after Ezra, and the book right before the book of Esther, I believe it is. Yeah. But we can see here in God's Word also that not only, and I believe that I can say it, and I believe I can say it dealing with it and looking at it as God's Word also, and we know that. We can look at the four Gospels, and you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we can look at the book of Nehemiah, and we can look at that, and we can see where the Gospel is also explained here. But here, for a few minutes this morning, I just want to share some thoughts with you today. But here in chapter 1 and verse number, well, let's start reading with verse number 1. Now, some of these words I'm going to pronounce, and when I pronounce them, y'all just overlook it, because I know I'm going to pronounce them wrong, but you know, God still can take it and use it. But it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chelcia, in the 20th year, and I was in Shushan. Shahana, the palace, that Hanana, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Israel. We know that also that this is speaking in the month of December. That's what the C-H-I-S-L-E-U means in the English speaking today. From a Hebrew to the English is speaking of the December descendant. But we also need to remember also that this is Nehemiah. Nehemiah learns of the remnant in Jerusalem. And it says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates therefore are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Verse 5. And Nehemiah said, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of thy children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." Now we know also that over in the book of Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We know that. But not only this right here, Nehemiah was praying for Israel. And as Nehemiah prayed for Israel, they was coming back to him and they was telling him about what had happened, that the walls had been torn down, that it had been burned, and it was in ruins. Now, Nehemiah was a praying man. He knew who to one to pray to. But we also can see also here in chapter 4 in verse 3. Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls." What he's saying right here is that the walls are going to be rebuilt, and they're going to be rebuilt by the dimensions and by the way the Lord wants them built. And it says right here in verse number 6, says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people here in that day, they had a mind to work. And as they had the mind to work, they realized that the walls had been broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. We need to do exactly what Nehemiah done right here in verse number, the latter part of verse number 3 in chapter 1. "The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." We see today where hearts are broken. We see where lives are broken. We see where people are struggling today more than they ever have before. You know, one time you could remember, at least I could remember a time when you went to work for somebody. Yes, you filled out an application, but you worked and you worked for them, and they asked you things that, what would you do about this? And what would you do about that? Only thing you could give them is your opinion. That's the only thing that we could give them. But you had an outstanding performance to do and what they wanted you to do. And if you stayed with them and if you done what they asked you to do, you didn't have no problem looking for something else to work at. Because people in that day and time, they realized that if they had help, that they had good help. But today, we can see all kinds of businesses, I hear, that are, they're looking for people that has these plaques on the wall, all these type of degrees. There's no degree that's any better than work-related. Work-related is the greatest degree that an individual can look upon, that can look at. But that's the reason people today are hurting, because they don't know what to do. They don't know if they can go to, if they can go here or there or whatever. They just don't know. They just don't know that if they go and seek out a job that how long they'll be there. At one time, seniority meant something. And how did you build up your seniority? By staying at the same job for years. And every year that you was there mean that your seniority grows. I can't get out this morning. But it growed. But it says then, said it, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. We need to be people today that's willing to weep over the house of God. We need to have people that's willing just to forget about everything else when they come into God's house, and they need to come. And if the Lord speaks to an individual's heart during the message or Sunday school or any time, or just coming through the doors, and if somebody says hey to you or how you doing and glad to see you, something like that, if it touches you, then you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. You need to come up here and you need to ask God to bless them. Why? Because that individual has brought a blessing to you. But we see right here where the walls had been broken down and the gates had been burned up. Churches today is broken. We have so many people in the house of God today that are broken. They don't know which way to turn anymore. And I think it was probably in the 90s, but where all this come about and started, and then the 2000 hit and all of that. But I think what it is that people are taking the gospel, they're taking God's word, and they're looking at it and they say, well, it's easy to get saved. It is. It's easy to get saved. It's easy to obey the Lord. But what you've got to remember is that He went to Calvary for them. He went to Calvary for me and for you. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. How many times a day that you have somebody getting along with God and just fasting? You know, they talk about the 40 days of fasting. I've heard preachers say that they've went 40 days and they fasted. I don't think they went 40 days. Because when you're fasting, that is when you're not allowing anything else to come into this temple, into this body. That's consuming water or food, either one. We have to have some kind of a nourishment to bring to our body. We have to have some type of nourishment to bring to the inner man, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Because if we don't feed the Comforter, and if we don't look unto Him as our guide, what are we doing? Nothing. We're not doing anything. But we do. I think we do need to remember some things that we have seen before in the past. I hadn't been saved since 1980. And a few times there in 1980, I seen where people would come to the altar and they would be weeping. Now, I can go back and I can remember when Brother Bernie when their son would come to the altar every Sunday. Sunday night, when the invitation was given, he'd come to the altar. He'd come to the altar on Wednesday evening. He was always there at the altar, and he wasn't there just praying. He was weeping over his daddy's lost condition. He was weeping. Now here was, how old do you think Brother Lance was then, Shelby? When was it, Brother Sharbaugh? That was 4, 5, 6 years old, something like that. But he was at the altar. And you could actually hear him. If you sat on the back row, you could actually hear him weeping over his daddy. Oh, his daddy getting saved. And he knew. And he knew that if anybody from his church went to his daddy, went to the house, and talked to his daddy, that his daddy's going to turn him off. But he prayed for him. He wept over him. And when you weep over somebody, that's when you've allowed your heart to be humble. Your heart has melted for their lost condition. But then we have Satan. He will come on the scene like it said over in the book of, in chapter 4, I think it was, or chapter 6. Chapter 4. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down the stone wall. Did you realize today
The only way that Satan, only way the devil can be in this services is if we bring him. If we bring him. Because he wants us to forget about God. He wants us to forget about the house of prayer. He wants us to forget about the house of fellowship. He wants us to forget about the house of peace and the house of understanding. He wants us to forget about all of these things. That's what the fox right here represents. Because see, we can allow the foxes to come into this service. But as a fox comes in, the fox is going to pray among the people. And when invitation time comes, if the Lord has spoken to your heart any time at all, then that old fox, the devil, he's going to say, well, you ain't got to go up. You already saved. You ain't got to go up. See, he's trying to defeat you. He's trying to defeat me. And I know in times past, you know, I said, I'm not going to allow it to defeat me. But I tell you what, I'm human. I am human. We all are human. And if we don't watch out, the devil can really, he can get the very best of us. But it's like in the book of Job, which Job was a righteous man. But in all of his righteousness, still Satan went to God and asked God, said, God, can I have Job? He said, yeah, you can. I'll let you do anything you want to except take his life. Except take his life. That's the same thing today. The Lord will test us to the point. He will test our faith that our faith is strong enough to go through. That our faith will go through. We'll go all the way to the end, because if we don't have the faith to overcome some of the devils, trickery and all of that, if we don't have the faith to overcome that, the faith that we need to have in God, to overcome that, then we don't have the faith to endure until the time the Lord returns back. But we must have the faith. We must put our faith and our trust in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we put our faith in nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then when we go out here, when we build up, and when we build up the walls of this church, and when we build up the walls here, and when we build up from the foundation up, and we bring people in that they can still hear the gospel. They can still hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had mind to work. Do we have a mind to work together? We must trust the Lord. That what we will do, what he wants us to do, that we'll work together. And I know that y'all have worked with me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And I know that it won't be but maybe another week or two I'll be here. A year as a pastor of the church. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity that you have allowed me. But you know something? God did not give us. And he did not give me a time frame to say, well, within 6 months, we're going to have, instead of 8 or 10, we're going to have 30 or 40. No. God said, just get up there and preach the word. God says, go up there, be instant in season, be out of season. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to be instant in season and out of season. It's hard to preach some things that I know that you're not, is not categorized to you. But we must realize some things too, that if we don't watch it, we can fall back into the sin debt that we first owed. We can fall back into that debt. We won't lose our salvation, but we won't lose the eternal life because God gave his life one time and one time only. But he gave it. That's the key word. He gave his life. He spared his own life. One time and one time only. So all these people I hear and all these preachers I hear, they can't preach. I mean, they get up and they don't preach about being saved today and saved tomorrow and everything. They think that, hey, well, if I sin tomorrow, I'm going to be lost tomorrow. Well, guess what? Praise God. We can't wait from one day to the next before we sin. Because we have all sinned. And if we have come short, I'm talking about short. We've come up short each and every day. Because there's no individual, even Paul, said the same thing. And even in the book of John, and then the book of Acts and to Peter. I mean, hey, look at them. You think that they was trusting on? On just being saved? Or you think they was trusting on the eternal security that they had through the Lord Jesus Christ? He gives us eternal security that lasts for now and forevermore. And not only will it just last until he comes back, but it's still going to be lasting after we get to heaven. Because he says he cannot never take away the plan of salvation. Why? Because of the just God that he is. Because of the righteousness that he applied to my heart and applied to my life. And the same righteousness that applied to me applied to you. And he will apply to anyone else that is willing just to step out by faith. And I believe this with all my heart. And I never understood. I had heard some people talk about it any times past. But I went to a revival and I heard a preacher one time say, he said, you know, as far as an individual gets saved, which I know they cannot get saved without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, the Holy Spirit's what brings conviction. And Jesus Christ, he gives his salvation freely. It's not for something for us to purchase, but it was free for the taking. And I don't know if anybody else that doesn't like anything this day and time that's free. I mean, you know, I mean, I tell you, every time you're turning around, somebody is calling you at home wanting this or wanting that, more money for this or more money for that. Well, I know that you have donated before. I know you donated last year, but I didn't. See, they use things like that to get you to say, well, you know, get your mind off of the things that you knew was the truth. And they said, well, you know, we appreciate you. Your donation, you donated last year, 2014. Says we need for you to see if you can help us again this year. And when I know for a fact that I did not help them, they can call me every day during the week. I'm not going to change my mind. They're trying to get me into what they want me to do. And a whole lot of these things that goes on the telephone, these telemarketers, and that's what they are, telemarketers, that they will come about and say a whole lot of these things. And it's not true. It's not true. It's false. Just like the government here, what, some years back, I think it was maybe five, six, seven, 8 years ago, when they come up to that, you could go online and you could fill out the information online and put your phone numbers. If you had a cell phone, put your cell phone number in. If you had a house phone, put your house phone number in and everything. And they will take you off. Do not call list. That's not so. That's not so. They don't take you off. If they did, I had to get my number again. They've got it again. I know they get the numbers and everything. But you can buy software. You can buy a piece of software for less than probably $30. And you can just hit a button. And it can run off probably 5 or 6, maybe thousands of names and telephone numbers. That's not right, but to do it. This past week, I was in my study. And I was just trying to what the Lord wanted me to preach Wednesday night and everything. But you know, after I really got in there and seeking God and what He wanted me to preach, you know, then I forgot about it. Then I got to talking to Him. And I just thanked Him for being so good and so merciful unto me. And I said, God, I don't want you to think I'm complaining, because I'm not. I said, but you know, at one time I was complaining when I started having these problems and everything. I said, but you know what's best. for me, you know what's best for the church. And Lord, and I do thank you for the church. I do thank you for each and every individual that is so faithful in coming out. I said, but Lord, I says, I realize I've done nothing for you. And if we'll really get down to it and really think about it wholeheartedly, we can all say the same thing, that we have really done nothing for the Lord. Because how many times have we been up here to weep over our family? Now, if you're not willing to come and to weep over your family because they're not in church, or they may not be saved, but we need to get them under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get them under God's word, where God's word can take and can convict our heart. But you see, if you're not concerned about your family, trying to get them in, how can you be concerned for somebody else that you don't know? You know, that's just like, I forgot where it's found at anyhow, but the scripture that I'm thinking about is talking about on the same idea, is that how can you love someone else and you haven't seen them, but yet you stand up in church and you say, I love you, Jesus. We haven't seen him, but we see our friends, we see our neighbors, and we see family every day. Every day during the week. But we can't see that. But yet we don't put a trust in an individual that we have not laid our eyes on. What is that called? That's called faith. If we got enough faith in that, don't you think that we should have just a little faith in coming to the altar and weeping over our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors? I think we do. I think we need to come. Every time his service is open, I think God will bless the house of God. I think God will pour you out a blessing that you have never experienced before. Why? Because you obeyed God. God's word says we must weep over them. We must weep over the church. If your church is broken, if your wall's been torn down once before because of people's got the feelings hurt, we need to get back to the altar. We need to start weeping again. Not just once the service. We need to do it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We need to come in and we need to come to the altar and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that he hears and answers your prayer right where you at. I know that. But don't you think that God also would love to see you move? I mean, you know, if it was up to me, if it was up to my wife, I would never get up here again. I'd have to get down there and probably sit down.
See, I got to move. Why? Just because. God. Do what?
Dale, then talk.
You scared I'm going to fall right where I'm at.
We don't want you. Just everybody.
Well, hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, if I fall just like that Wednesday night, praise God, I got a wall over to catch me. I got a bill. I got a bill. And I got a bill, too.
You got a background on the belly.
I believe you.
That wood is horrible.
What wood?
That wood.
You know what? You would have done me more damage talking about that night I failed. The carpet.
Boy, it's
I mean, that's, well,
that's
I had. But. Well, everyone stand. And we'll have a song. We sing all verses.